Greetings in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's a blessing to be here this morning and worship with you all. And it's also been special. I didn't realize that this would be the Sunday morning that Sister Arlene and Sister Rhoda would share a bit of their testimony. And so I was really blessed to realize that and be here for that. Let's just bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we come to you this morning. We are grateful and thankful for your word. And I pray that you would open it to us this morning. We have come gathered here together as a people, as your church, and we desire to look into your word. And I pray that you would minister healing to our hearts from your word this morning. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. As I've contemplated the last while, one of the things I've spent some time thinking about and just musing on is just all the pain and suffering in our world. And it's nothing new, is it? There's just so much pain, so much suffering. And I think specifically of the wars that have been going on. We have the Russia and Ukraine war, and I know that some comes close home for some of you here at Ephrata. There's also the war in Israel, Gaza Strip there, and that's been going on for a few months. We think of just general civil unrest in places like Haiti. I cannot imagine, thinking specifically of Gaza, my imagination fails me to imagine that kind of brutality. Thinking specifically of when there was that invasion of Israel that sparked the whole thing, where men would just take advantage of innocent people, and there would be killing and just torture. And I can't imagine. And now I can't imagine that over the past couple months, the outcome as Israel has responded and has, there's just so much suffering in where I understand there was already a humanitarian crisis. And that's such a densely populated area. And now with that war happening, the suffering that is happening. And it just reminds us that we live in a sad and broken world, doesn't it? And what's the cause? The cause, of course, is sin. Man does not know God. And what probably grieves my heart more as I think specifically about wars in the Middle East, but not only in the Middle East, when I think about the cause, and you realize that underneath what might sometimes be a power struggle on the surface, underneath is religious beliefs. And what people believe, what their worldview is. And man is reaching out, trying to get a hold of something of reality. Something men have their idea of what heaven on earth would be like, what a utopia would be like. Different ideas, different. That's why we have religions in the world. Man is looking for some kind of fulfillment. But outside of God, it just brings more hurt, more devastation, right? But you know, the hurt of sin is just not out there, is it? With warring nations. Several months ago, I received word of a young man my age, I think just a half a year younger than myself, that had passed away. And I knew this young man. We had gone to church together in my teen years. I remember going to Sunday school class, sitting beside him as we went around the circle and read the verses. I remember being in the youth group with him. And I remember that this young man had some serious struggles in his life. You know, looking back, I remember it just seemed that he had that bent, that love for the world and pleasure. And I remember things like cowboy boots and Western style and a jacked up truck. And as I reflect back on that, I realize probably more than I did then that inside the heart was someone that was hurting. There was pain there. I don't know what all his experience was, even though he was one of my friends at the time. I remember him responding at an altar call, repenting of sin and getting rid of sinful things in his life, getting rid of music, lots of music. Only a few weeks later to be disappointed when it didn't last and he was back in his old ways. Well, our lives went separate ways. And just a few months ago, I believe it was just this fall in October, he passed away. And I understand that his liver and kidneys were destroyed by alcohol. The pain and the suffering in our world because of sin. And as I think about these things, there's a song that goes through my mind from time to time that we sang with the young people there at Harmony, our choir, just this past fall. It says this: "These are dangerous times in this sorrowful old world. Who knows what tomorrow we face? Yet we look to the one who created each life, who fashioned every planet in space. Healing for a wounded world, flowing from a nail-scarred hand. There is a hope, there is a light, overcoming the darkness, breaking through the night. The great physician reaches out to offer healing for a wounded world. Say one word, precious Lord, and the blind will gain their sight. The lame will start leaping for joy. With the power of your love, shattered lives are made whole. All those who've been forgiven rejoice. You were pierced for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The punishment upon you has brought us peace. By your stripes we are healed. By your wounds we are healed. Healing for a wounded world, flowing from a nail-scarred hand. There is a hope, there is a light, overcoming the darkness, breaking through the night. The great physician reaches out to offer healing for a wounded world." We sang this song over and over, and the lyrics have stuck with me over these months. The world needs healing. My title this morning is The Great Physician. You know, it's not just nations at war, nor is it just past acquaintances, but the pain and suffering of sin in our fallen world. It comes right here, comes right home into our midst at times, and right here with myself. We're all affected by sin. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all have a hurting emptiness inside of us, left behind by the fall and our own sin. And we try to fill that void with something. But just like the warring nations, when we try to fill that void with something other than God, we only hurt ourselves further. And the more we hurt ourselves, we begin to hurt others. Like the saying goes, hurt people, hurt people. I'd like to just look at a few verses. As we think about healing, you can turn to Jeremiah chapter 8. A couple chapters, a couple passages from the prophets. Thinking of healing from the pain of sin. And we're talking about salvation and healing for our sin and also for the hurts caused by sin against me. Jeremiah is a weeping prophet. And he's a man that is sorrowing over the sins of Israel. And we don't have time to go into the context of the different passages we're going to read. But in Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 18, we'll start reading. It says, "When I would comfort myself against sorrow, my heart is faint in me. Behold the voice of the cry of the daughter of my people because of them that dwell in a far country. Is not the Lord in Zion? Is not her king in her? Why have they provoked me to anger with their graven images and with strange vanities? The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. For the hurt of the daughter of my people am I hurt. I am black. Astonishment hath taken hold on me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered?" Hear the cry of Jeremiah. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there none? The answer is yes. There is a balm. There is healing for us. But that healing does not come without a price. Isaiah chapter 53, verses 4 and 5. And you know these verses by heart, I'm sure. "Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." There's a price for our healing, brothers and sisters. Jesus has already paid that price. He has already borne the sorrow and the pain and the suffering of sin. He's already endured it. It's already finished. Yet we are still here in this fallen world, and we deal with the consequences of pain caused by sin. Malachi, just a few more passages here. Malachi chapter 4, If you want to turn there, you may. Malachi chapter 4, the very last chapter in the Old Testament. We have these verses, verse 1 and 2. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly, shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. Now the picture that the prophet is giving here is that there is the night, and now the morning has come and the sun is coming up. And as the sun comes up, the wicked are burned up. The wicked are destroyed. But to those that put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, to those that are penitent and repentant of sin before Him, the sun brings healing, brings life-giving warmth and light. Beautiful picture of a sun coming up, being two totally different things, bringing healing and hope and life, or the opposite. Verse 2, it says, ye, the Son of Righteousness, arise with healing in His wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. Now, I don't know what translation or version you might be reading from. I'm reading from King James, and the King James translation is not quite real clear what the picture is here. But what it's talking about is you take young calves, newly born calves, and they're raised initially in a confined space. Maybe it's in a stall with the mother cow. More likely, we would think of it in our modern day in a calf hutch, where they're fed and nurtured as just a young newborn calf. And they grow up and they get a little older. They're still pretty small. They're still calves, but they're weaned and they're strong enough to go out of this confined space. And you open up that up and you let those little calves out. Have you ever observed that? It's a really delightful thing. You get these little calves that sometimes just seem a bit awkward and clumsy, and all of a sudden they realize that, hey, we're free. This feels good. And they start jumping and kicking and bucking at nothing in just the sheer delight of this freedom, this healing, as it were. That's the promise to us, to the righteous, that we shall go forth and grow up, shall go forth as, when maybe it would be said better, as grown up calves from the stall. Luke chapter 4, Jesus quotes from the prophet Isaiah in Luke chapter 4, verse 14. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. Verse 17 of Luke chapter 4 says, and there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it is written, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to captives and the recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book and gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. That was our Lord reading from the prophet Isaiah, telling us why he has come to set the captives free, to heal the brokenhearted. How do we receive healing? That's what I'd like to think about this morning. I'd like us to think about, for each of us personally, in our personal lives, how do I receive healing? Peter, preaching in Acts 10:38, said that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. What a beautiful, beautiful verse. You imagine Jesus just going around bringing healing to all that were oppressed of the devil. That wasn't just physical healing. It just healing wherever Christ went. Many people throughout Jesus' ministry received physical healing from Jesus. And I'm not sure if I have the right number, but I believe we can find 26 specific physical healings that Jesus brought about in the Gospels. I could have that number wrong, but I know it's somewhere around there, 26. Physical healing. But we know there were many, many more that He healed physically. And we know that He brought about spiritual healing to many, including those that He healed physically. I would like to look at two people that received healing from Jesus. And these people received physical healing. But as we look at the stories and as we read through the Gospels, I hope we understand that when we read of somebody getting healed, whether it's the lame man by the pool of Bethsaida or whoever it might have been, I hope we see that truth about receiving healing, what it means to be healed, how to receive healing from Jesus Christ. And that's what I want to do this morning with these two stories. The first one I'd like to look at is in Mark chapter 10. If you would turn there to Mark chapter 10, we'll start reading in verse 46. Mark chapter 10, verse 46. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, "Be of good comfort. Rise, he calleth thee." And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" The blind man said unto him, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." And Jesus said unto him, "Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Turning back just five chapters to Mark chapter 5, verse 24, is the other story I would like to think about. Mark chapter 5, verse 24. Mark 5:24. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For, she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And he looked around about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Just two stories. There would be so many more that we could think about this morning, but two stories. And from these stories, I'd like to talk about steps to spiritual healing. To experience spiritual healing, number one, we must recognize our need. Bartimaeus recognized his problem. He knew he was blind. The woman recognized she had a problem. She had the issue of blood. And she had tried everything. They recognized their need. The Pharisees, I'm sure we can recall many accounts where the Pharisees were challenging Jesus. And one of those times was Jesus was eating with publicans and sinners, you remember? And they, I think it's in Mark 2, verse 17, it says, no, that's Jesus' response. But the Pharisees asked Jesus' disciples there, they say, why is Jesus sitting and eating with publicans and sinners? That was an offense to them, a problem to them. And Jesus says this to them. He says, they that are whole have no need of a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Now, does this mean that some people are righteous and don't need Christ? Absolutely not. Those Pharisees needed Jesus desperately. They were hurting people too. They were. They tried to cover that up. Things looked good. But inside the hearts, they were dead man's bones. They were hurting people. And they needed healing. But the difference between the publicans and sinners that Jesus was eating with and the Pharisees was that the publicans and sinners knew they had a need. They knew they were hurting people. They knew they had sin. The Pharisees did not. That was the difference. If we're going to receive healing, we have to recognize the hurt of sin in our lives. We have to recognize the sin that I've committed against myself and against others. We have to recognize that yes, I've been hurt by others too. If we will find healing, what are those needs in our lives? What are those hurts that we're not willing to look at? I thought of Pilgrim's Progress recently. I was listening again to Pilgrim's Progress, being reminded of many of the scenes in that allegory. And if you recall, as I'm sure many of you have read or listened to The Pilgrim's Progress, Christian finds himself at the house of Interpreter. And Interpreter shows him many different things. And one of the things that Interpreter shows him is a man that's waking up from a dream. You remember that? And the man is crying out. And Christian asks, "What's the problem?" And this man says, I dreamed and the heaven opened. It was the day of the Lord. And I don't have all the details here, but the day of the Lord had come. The rapture was happening. The resurrection was happening. It was an awful day. But what was the most terrible thing was that he was left behind. And he was crying out in fear. And Christian said, "Well, what are you going to do about it? Why are you left behind?" And at first he pretends that it's nothing. Well, aren't you going to do something? If you're left behind, if you're going to be left behind in that day, what are you going to do about it? "Oh, sometime, we'll take care of it." And as Christian presses him, he begins to make excuse. "It's just a little sin in my life. It's just a little thing. It's nothing." We cannot live in denial, but we must recognize our need and where there is pain in our lives. Secondly, we need to keep moving. The second step to spiritual healing is we must be broken. The woman with the issue of blood had tried everything. Verse 26 we had read there says that she had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had. She was done. There was nothing more she could do. She had gone to this doctor and had gone through the tortures of that treatment. She went to this doctor and had gone through the pain of that surgery. She went to the next doctor and had suffered a different treatment. I can only imagine. When it says, you know, I think those words are well chosen. Suffered many things of many physicians. She had tried everything, gone through excruciating pain. But there was no healing. None to help her. And she was done. She was out of money. Nowhere else to turn. No more doctors that offered any hope. And after she had pushed through that crowd, in verse 33, and she touched the hem of the garment, she was made whole. And later, Jesus turns and looks at her. And what happens when Jesus looks at her? She just comes forward and falls down on her face and she tells him all the truth. That's what the broken heart will do. The broken heart won't hold anything back. The broken heart will say all the truth. She told him everything right there. What the problem was. It was embarrassing. She told him how she had been here, been there, and there was no help. Told him that she was out of money. Told him that she was done. But she had that hope, that faith to come and touch Jesus. She says, "I'm healed." She told him everything. That's a sign of brokenness. Bartimaeus, he also was broken. He knew there were no other answers. His only hope was Jesus. Do I recognize that I don't have the answers? Do I depend fully on Jesus? And this is such a challenge to me. You know, it was 2018, I believe, I was ordained. And of course, I've been walking with the Lord long before that. But I found myself in many situations not knowing what to do. And there's a few times I can think of sitting in my study where I just gave up. I knew I had to face whatever was ahead and walked up against the wall and just laid it out to God. I have no answers. That hasn't happened as often as it should, because those few times that happened, I look back and I just marvel. We went to wherever I needed to go, talk with whoever it might have been, and those were the times that God moved. And I realize that too often, too many times, I'm working in my own strength. God help me to be broken. Number three, we must go to Jesus. And what's beautiful about this, and specifically why I chose these two stories, is to illustrate that these steps of healing don't look the same for everybody in every situation. The healing is the same. The source of healing is the same. It's Jesus Christ. But we all find ourselves in different struggles, different pains, different situations. Bartimaeus was blind, and he heard that Jesus was near. His way of going to Jesus was to cry out at the top of his lungs, "Lord Jesus, have mercy on me! Jesus, thou son of David." And he's told, "Bartimaeus, be quiet." And he just cried louder, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." It was his way of reaching, of going to Jesus, was to cry out. He cried the more a great deal. The woman came in the press behind. Very different. Very different than Bartimaeus crying out at the top of his lungs. You know, this was something embarrassing. This was something very difficult. Something very personal. And she just worked her way through that crowd. She thought, if I can just get through to Jesus, if I can just get up behind Him and just reach out and touch His clothing, I'll be healed. She had that faith. Very different. And so the lesson in this for us is, whatever your situation is, no matter what that pain is, the sin, your own sin, the sin of others committed against you, the hurts, the turmoil, whatever it is, wherever you find yourself, do what it takes, whatever it takes, to get to Jesus. Fourthly, we must reach out in faith. Jesus asked Bartimaeus, "What do you want?" And he said, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." He wouldn't have asked Jesus for a sight if he didn't think Jesus could do it. He believed this man can heal him. Faith. We must reach out in faith. The woman pressed up behind Jesus and had to reach out and touch the hem of his garment. Do I reach out in faith, believing that I'm done, I have no answers, Jesus, you have it all. This situation I'm in, Jesus has the answers. We falter in our faith. I falter in my faith many times. But the key is the Word of God. Do we spend time reading, absorbing the Word of God, God's revelation to us, hearing from God, spending time in prayer, hearing from Him, and then believing. Believing the promises in His Word. We could talk much more about faith. Number five, my last point, is follow Jesus. It says of Bartimaeus, and immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Now it seems like Jesus just said, you're healed. Go your way. And turned and started going. And if you would imagine, I don't know, was Bartimaeus blind his whole life? It seems that he would have been blind for a very long time. Probably his whole life. You would think that just having received sight and looking around, this would be a time of all times to be distracted. But what does Bartimaeus do? Bartimaeus keeps those eyes with this newly found sight and keeps them fixed on Jesus. And he follows Jesus in the way, it says. Rather than looking out around. And I mean, the sights must have been overwhelming to a blind man to suddenly be made completely whole. 20/20 vision. He could probably see better. Not probably. I think he could see better than anyone else in that crowd that day. And yet he kept those eyes fixed on Jesus. You know how easily it would have been to lose Jesus Christ in that crowd, in that shuffle that was going on? But he didn't. He followed after Jesus. And that's what we must do. If we will continue to receive healings, yes, many of us, and I meant to say this earlier, I realize that these steps that I've given are really simple steps to salvation. And I realize that many of us here, most of us here, have received salvation. We have committed our lives to Jesus Christ, praise God. And we've experienced healing. But still, in the trials of life, in the tests that we go through, we find ourselves in painful places. Sometimes, unfortunately, caused by my own sin, my own failures. Other times by those that have sinned against us. Pain and suffering. Remember to recognize our need to be broken, to go to Jesus, to reach out in faith, and to follow Him. I'd like to close. We started with our first passage was from Jeremiah. And I'd like to go back to Jeremiah, to Jeremiah chapter 17. Two verses here I'd like to leave with you in closing. Jeremiah 17, verse 13 says, O Lord, the hope of Israel, all that forsake thee, shall be ashamed, and they that depart from me shall be written in the earth, because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living waters. Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for Thou art my praise. The weeping prophet Jeremiah had that hope. And he could say, Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved. Verse 13 there, O Lord, the hope of Israel, all that forsake thee shall be ashamed. They'll be written in the earth. What does that mean? Why? You can think about it different ways. We can think about this body that when we die goes back to the earth. And those that are not following Christ, have not given their hearts to the Lord Jesus, that's the end. They go back, their bodies go to the earth, and they are left in torment, their souls. We could also think of it that their names are written in the dust, writing in the ground. And just like you would expect, writing in the ground disappears in a short time. Either way, those that are not following Christ will vanish. They shall be ashamed because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living waters. But Jeremiah says, "Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed." Let's kneel for prayer. Our Father in heaven, we bow before you this morning, and we want to implore you and ask for healing in our hearts this morning. Lord Jesus, for each one of my brothers and sisters here at Ephrata Christian Fellowship, Lord, that you would minister to the hearts, the old, the young. Thank you, Lord, for the testimonies we heard this morning of those that have walked with you for many years and you have given them healing time and time again. Would you continue to give them healing in their hearts and lives? And Lord, for all of us, for the young as well, youth that struggle with so many things, whether it's the temptations and the desires of the flesh or whether it's the pain caused by unfortunate circumstances, Lord, that you would minister to each heart where each of us are at, wherever we find ourselves. You are the great physician, and we look to you for that healing, spiritual healing, that our souls would be saved in the day of Jesus Christ when you return, that we would be without blame, that we could be at your right hand before the Father in glory. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Praise the Lord for the great physician. Thank you, Brother Jesse, for turning our thoughts and our hearts towards the healer this morning. We do live in a broken world, and we see that all around us. We're reminded time and again of the brokenness that's in our world. When we hear about things that are happening in the world, and when we face difficulties ourselves and go through pain and bereavement and sorrow and grief. But we have a great physician. And it doesn't have to be our story that when we're hurt, that we hurt others. I know I've heard that before. Hurt people, hurt people. But it doesn't have to be that way. All of us do experience hurt at some time or another. It's how we respond to that hurt that determines whether or not we're going to hurt others. If we just wallow in our pain instead of taking that pain to the great physician, then we most likely will hurt others. But when we come to Jesus, the great healer, then He brings the healing, and then we can respond in grace to those who have hurt us, and we can be a blessing and be refined and made better rather than made bitter through the hurts that we experience in life. So I really appreciate the things that were shared this morning and the emphasis on our great physician. Let's keep looking to Him in the difficulties that we face. We'll open it up. If others have anything to share, response to the message, raise your hand. Someone will get a microphone to you. Brother Harold.
What a friend we have in Jesus. He's everything to us. He's the physician. He's the counselor. He's our King, the Lord, Savior from sin. I appreciated the challenge that we received. I also want to give tribute to whom tribute and honor to whom honor. The two husbands that were represented by their widows today spoke into my life very deeply in the years. I have so many deep memories of sharing with Brother Mose. Very personal, very deep, very healing. Also had the privilege of being a part of the Life Literature Program and work with Brother Dave. I learned a lot of lessons from his patient and tender heart. And I know when he was sick, I went to see him a few times, and I was home, and I was just debating going back, and I did go back. I was back only a day or so when Earl Fox called me. That he says, Brother Dave passed away. And I had to come back. I wanted to come back because to respect the dear brother who I saw so tenderly speak into the lives of his children and his wife. Honor to whom honor. Thank you, dear sisters, for sharing your heart.
Brother Carl?
Well, I know Brother Ted would say it doesn't get much better than this. It's been such a blessing to be here from beginning to end, from the testimonies and the children's lesson and the message. And the message was so foundational, solid truth, and so clearly laid out, so simple. And so real, and I was just very blessed with it. Blessed with the idea of the opposite approaches that those two took in the stories that were shared. And we can never put God in a box. And I want to share a prayer request here, but it's also very, very poignant with the message. Last night I met a young man, his name was John, and he would be grateful if you would pray for him. We had gone to a reunion of sorts. Keith and Andrea Keeney were down from Alaska and had invited many of their friends to come and spend a little time at a drop-in with them. So we had gone. I couldn't believe how many people were there. It was, I don't know, 150 at least. And over in the corner of the room was a young man who was tattooed from head to toe, looked pretty rough on the outside, and I saw he was standing alone, and not many people were talking to him, partly because of his appearance, I'm sure. And then I talked to Andrea, and I found out that he was her stepbrother, John, and he had lived with Jake and Liz Beiler for a while, probably been here. And I remembered him vaguely. I hadn't seen him for many, many years, but I vaguely remembered him. So I went over and talked to him for a while, and what a story of pain his life held. And he shared freely. He's trying to make better things of his life. He has a child now, and God so often works through children. He realizes he's made a great many mistakes, but the biggest pain in his life was rejection by his mother. He was an unwanted child. And he felt that from day one. He was rejected by her. And to this day, the hatred for her consumes him. And that's what has driven almost all the decisions in his life. He spent 10 years in prison. And as we were there visiting, and I was sharing with him that I'm extremely sympathetic for the pain he's gone through, but the answer is in Jesus and in finding a love that goes beyond the loves that we should be able to have in this life. And then I noticed on his tattoos he had teardrops down from his eyes on both sides, both cheeks. And I asked him, "Are those teardrops, did you put them there because of this pain?" And he said, "No, although that would fit." He said that was because in prison he had some of the only real friends that he ever had, and they were losers just like him. And so often, you know, it works that way. They find each other. And then he said he lost some of them. They died in prison. And that's when he tattooed the tears on his face. And so, you know, it's hard for us to relate to a person like that, because what we see on the outside feels so, awkward to us, that we just want to stay away. But in that heart is a desperate, hurting heart that needs healing. And it needs the healing of Jesus. And he cried when we talked about the need for him to break some of the bondages that he has lived out of in his life and give a different life to his child that's now growing up. So there's a soft heart in there. And my mom got to share with him too. She shared a gospel tract of the Gospel of John. And it's not like he doesn't know these things. He's heard it before. But there's definitely a softness there. And he threw his arms around my mom's neck and just cried for a while when she told him, "I want you to go home and read this. And I want you to ask Jesus to show himself to you as you read these words." And that just, he wept. So I don't know where all God will go with that, but I'd ask you to pray for John. Jesus is the answer, and he brings healing no matter what our problems are. And we need to go to him like we heard this morning. Whatever it takes, run to Jesus.
There is healing for a broken world, and there's so much brokenness around us. Kent.
Yes, I too am thankful for the service today and for the things that have been shared. After World War II was complete, Winston Churchill came to the United States, and he went to a small college in Missouri to give a speech. And his speech is pretty much very easy to remember. He shared, "Never give up, never give up, never give up." And as I was thinking about the two examples that we heard about today, here's this woman. And sounds like she hadn't just gone to one doctor and gave up and figured she's not going to get cured. Sounds like she went to lots of doctors, went until she didn't have any more money to go to any more doctors. But she wouldn't give up. She knew she could be healed. She just had to find the right person who could heal her. And then the blind man, he could have listened to those who were around him and just be quiet. Just be quiet. Just be content. You're blind. Just be content. But he wasn't content in being blind. He knew whether or not he'd ever seen before. We don't know. But he knew other people could see. And he wanted to see also. And he wouldn't give up. And I just see that should be that attitude within ourselves also. And then I start thinking about the woman who goes and is begging for justice. And she wouldn't give up. And I think God is trying to present himself as that judge who will go ahead and acquiesce to what's being asked for if there is that attitude of not giving up. But I think it has to be coupled with that faith to know that we've gone to the right person who can accomplish that task. So again, thank you for sharing today.
Yeah, amen. And I think in some ways we do need to give up our own efforts. But yes, not give up hope. Because there is hope not in ourselves or in our ideas, but when we give up our own way and then come to Jesus, not give up on him, find the answer. Anyone else? James?
Yeah, thank you, brother, for sharing about the healing of the nations. You had started out your message by talking about all the hurt and the pain that is caused by the conflict in the world. If anything, this has exposed some of the evil that the great evil that can come out of religion. And you know, even in Iran, some will say that there's maybe 10% of the population that is born again, that has a faith in Jesus, in spite of all the suppression, in spite of all the policing, in spite of everything that they're doing there. There's still a church in Iran, of all places. I mean, they're the cause for much of the suffering that's going on there in the Middle East. That's ironic that God, in his own way, turns around and builds a church within Iran itself. I mean, it just shows the power of God and the power of the gospel. But I just like to share the future healing. In Revelation, it says, talking about the New Jerusalem, it says, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." That's our future. You know, if we just don't give up, if we continue to press on, that is our future. And that future can be for John that Carl was talking about as well. He can experience that in spite of the pain that he has experienced in his own life. And then later on there in chapter 22, it talks about in the new heaven, in the midst of the street of it, on either side of the river, there was a tree of life which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. You know, God has a plan for healing, a healing for us individually, but also for the nations, for other nations, international healing. So I think we can just look to God and do our part.
Amen. We do have a future to look forward to where there's healing. Total healing, and no more sickness, no more suffering.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it has been a blessing to you. If you would like additional sermons or a catalog, please visit our website at effortofministries.org. Call us toll free at 855-557-7902 or write to us at Effort of Ministries, 400 West Main Street, Suite 1, Effort of Pennsylvania, 17522. You are welcome to copy this message for free distribution. This ministry is supported by your donations. May the Lord Jesus bless you.